end of the section on learning Musa. And also the Ali Shor writes the following. לפעמים מגיע הלומד מוסר תוך התפעלות לידי התעוררות למעשה. Sometimes when you learn Musar, you're inspired by an idea that you read. You're excited by it and you want to take on something. ומתחיל להיגמל מאיזו הרגל רע. You had a bad habit until that point, and as you're reading these words of Musar, and obviously you're contemplating and absorbing what's being said there, you develop a desire to get rid of a bad habit that you have. Or להתחזק באיזה דבר טוב, or to strengthen yourself in something good. אין הסכמה הזאת צריכה לחייב שינויים גדולים ומכבידים. It doesn't have to be that through learning Musar you take on some enormous big thing. It's not like, for now and forever I'm getting rid of whatever negative thing it is. The goal of Musar isn't to immediately challenge the biggest things and wipe them out in one go. מהיסודות של חוכמת המוסר הוא הכלל, one of the foundational principles of Musar is the following rule. שיש לשים לב דווקא לדברים קטנים שאדם דש בעקביו, should specifically pay attention to those things which are subtle and tiny and small that you overlook. והשינוי הקטן ביותר לטובה, הינו דבר גדול מאוד. And specifically having tiny, small changes, that's what's going to make a big, long-lasting change. ומבין בחוכמת המוסר, נזהר מאוד שלא לחייב את עצמו בגדרים ומעשים גדולים, שיש לו לחוש שלא יוכל לעמוד בהם. And someone who knows Musa well, he's always going to be very careful not to take on big things, that there's a concern that afterwards we won't be able to stand up to them. And here's the rule, tafasta meru velo tafasta, tafasta mo tafasta. If you take on too much, you're going to lose it. Now I want to explain kind of psychologically how this works. Imagine that you want to grow from here to here. Let's say your current level is down over here, and you want to grow to over here. Now if you try and jump from here to here, you're going to say, I don't know who I am anymore. I need to do this differently. Okay, let me do it like this. Let's say you go from here to here. That's who you are. Okay? That's where you are. From here until here. It'll become clear in a second. You want to go from here. That's where you are right now. From here until here. And you want to become over here. That's where you want to be. But from who you are now to who you are there, it's a totally different person. If you would try and say, I'm going to change who I am, I'm going to be a totally different person, I'm going to vanquish who I am and I'm going to be transformed, then you'll be over here and you'll say, okay, I'll start acting like this, but it's not authentic and it's not genuine and you won't be able to hold it up because it's not who you are. You can pretend you'd like to be someone else, but your real self will rebel within you. But what if you do this? Look at this. Let's say you're over here and then you make a change, but instead of making a big change of totally transforming who you are, you remain 99% the same and you move 1% over. 1% you move. So now, there's 1% of you that doesn't feel authentic. But there's still 99% that feels the same, meaning you made one tiny, tiny change. Are you able to handle that? It will be uncomfortable. There's one part of you that will feel a bit uncomfortable, but you can handle it because 99% you're still the same person. So you carry on with that same... I can do it up here, easy, right? So you start over there and you move over there. Some people may not even be able to see that I move my fingers. Because 99% is still the same. Only this tiny area over here has changed. So now how long do you wait there? You wait and you wait in that without taking anything new on until you feel comfortable that this is the real you. Until whatever it was that you took on or left behind becomes second nature. And only then, and that may take months, only then you say, you know, I'm ready for my next Kabbalah. The next thing I want to take on. The next thing I want to work on. If there's some bad trait that you have, maybe there's some good thing that you know would be the next logical step, whatever it is, it's not natural to you, but it's the next thing you want to work on. And only when you're very comfortable here, then you move to over here. Now even that, no one really noticed how much I moved over there. It was like almost impossible to measure. But you know that it's uncomfortable for you. It's a new thing you're working on. And it may take years. But very slowly but surely, you'll make your way over here. Now when you've got to here already, there is no overlap from who you were originally to who you are now. And if you were to try to go from here to here, your sense of being authentic to yourself, of having an identity, would not let you jump from there to there. It wouldn't let you. It would say, but it's not me. It would say, well, I'm going to be someone I'm not. You can try and pretend for a short period of time, but you can't pretend long term. Your real sense of self will rebel and say, this is not authentic, this is not me, I can't do it. But if you do it like this, so subtly, that any change that you do, and you wait so long that it becomes your natural self and your natural identity, slowly but surely you'll be able to move from here to here, and you'll never have a sense of this is not me. Because the tiny things that you absorb each time, you waited until it did become you, until it became your identity. And you could find someone who, years later, is in an absolutely different place. I remember there once, when I was in Shana Gimel, I think, there was someone who came to check out yeshiva. And I'd been in elementary school, or primary school, with him. And I hadn't seen him since then. Well, obviously, he was 2 years below me. He was checking out Shana Aleph, and I was in Shana Bet at the time. And he was coming to look at yeshiva. And I'd obviously done some work on myself sometime between elementary school and coming to yeshiva. Because when we met, and because I was from England and he was from England, they offered me to take him around and just see the campus. And so I was like showing around, telling him about the yeshiva. And he was looking at me and he said to me, "Are you sure that you're the same Tzvi Davidson that I was in Hasmonean in primary school?" I said, "Yeah, I remember you. We used to play football together. Why? Do you play football?" "But I remember." He said, "No, you're not the same Tzvi Davidson." I said, "No, I'm the same Tzvi Davidson. I lived on this road, then we went to this school, and then I proved to him I was the same." He goes, "No, you're not the same Tzvi Davidson." Now it's funny because I didn't see that I'd made this big change. I didn't see that from my being in primary school. But then when he said that, I tried to remember myself at that stage. And I remembered how I spoke at that point. And I remembered how I related to other people at that point. And I realized, wow, yeah, that was a very different Tzvi Davidson. But it wasn't, again, it was a shock to me. Because I never had one time in my life where I had this epiphany. I'm going to be a new man. I'm going to have a spiritual makeover. And I'm going to transform. That never ever happened. It just was always this very slow take on something. Wait a long time until it's second nature, and then take on something else. And you're always taking on a new thing, but always just slow, subtle way that it makes it. People who try and take on big things, it doesn't last. People who become too frum, too quick, it often hits back, and then it falls away, and sometimes it even causes them, Chas v'Shalom, to be in a worse place when they started. It's not necessarily a good thing. I remember there was a boy here who came and he wanted to do a particular practice. And he said to me, "My Rebbe in school, in high school, said to me that once I get to Shul, I have to do this." And I said to him, "Do you feel that it's authentic to you now?" And he said, "My Rebbe said it's not something logical, you just have to do it." And I said, "You could just do it, but if you just do it, then you'll feel that you're more righteous and holy than everyone else, because you're doing this extra big thing that no one else is doing, or some other people are doing, but I'm asking you, do you feel that you're ready for that yet?" And he just started yeshiva, and according to my recognition of him, that wouldn't be authentic to who he was. Not that he didn't have authentic desire, he did. He had authentic desire to do that, but I didn't think it was authentic to who he was at that time, according to his capabilities and according to his growth. And so he said, "Yeah, you're right, it's not who I am now." So I said, "So why don't you say, that's my goal, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to work on myself, and when I feel that I've earned it, and I deserve it, and I'm able to do it because it's a part of authentically who I am now, then I'll take it on." And he waited till around Shvat of his Shana Aleph. And he came back to me and says, "You know, I'm really glad I didn't do it at the beginning. Because then probably I wouldn't have worked on myself. I would have just thought, oh, that's it. Because I did this external thing, so I'm on a higher level. But then it wouldn't have happened that I actually worked to get to a higher level. But I feel now I've worked really hard and I've proven myself. And now I feel ready to do that thing." I said, "Go ahead, go and do it. It'll be a blessing. Because now it symbolizes that you work hard and you've changed yourself and you've become who you've become. And now it's just a symbol of true, authentic growth. But if you take on something which is external first, where you just did this big thing straight away, but you didn't actually do the inner slow work of growing and building, it's not going to reflect truly who you are." That's that first paragraph that we read today in the Aleishor, which is that someone who learns Musar will get to a point where they have a desire to make a transformation. And it's very important that you don't make a transformation in a big, impressive way that's public and that transforms you, because those aren't what's going to last long term. And we explained the reason behind it, because it's not going to be authentic to your identity. You're not going to say, this resounds with me and this is who I am. It's going to express a true desire of wanting to grow, but because you took too much of a jump, then it's not going to be able to last because it's not who you are. So rather, you must find the smallest, almost immeasurable step towards that direction, something which is kind of under the radar that you can't even notice. And when you take that very, very small step, then although it's not authentic to you entirely, but because it does express true desire and is something that with time you can make natural to who you are, it becomes second nature to you, it's at one with your identity, and then you're stable and you've acquired that and it's yours. And then you do that step by step by step, and then years later, you'll look around and you'll say, there is no overlap of who I am today and who I was a few years back. And you'll be able to keep that and continue. As opposed to Chas Shalom, if a person tries to make a jump, then it will just fall back because it's not going to be able to stand if it's not who you are. You know, you'll say, I can't live like this anymore. I can't keep it going. It's not true. It's not authentic to who I am. Can you just stop this for a second?